Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on X at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 22nd of June, 2024, and the title of today's show is Nothing Can Stop What Is Coming, White Hats Working Together, Vax is a Bioweapon, and Great Reset Has Backfired. So it's good to be back with you this week. I had to take a few weeks off because I was deeply involved in training as an NLP practitioner and timeline therapist and hypnotherapist. And it was done over the weekend, so I wasn't able to get the show done or be on Say What for that matter. So it's good to be back. I've got an interesting show today. I'd just like to say before I start that I'm incorporating these new techniques into my coaching program, and I do have a wonderfully accurate manifestation assessment as well. So if you're interested in finding out what is blocking your ability to manifest, or you're suffering from what you feel are internal blocks and limiting beliefs, then I can certainly help with all that. So take a look at my website, thesuccessalchemist.net, and get in touch. Okay, so I'm going to start this week with some exopolitics from Aseti, James Gilliland. And this is a much wider view than the geopolitics, which I'll be going on to after I've shared his latest newsletter with you. And it's a message from the Ascended Masters and Star Nations. We're moving very fast from draconian law to universal law. Everything is being amplified and accelerated. The action-reaction time concerning karma is becoming almost instantaneous. We are moving from a draconian, predatory-governed planet back into alignment with the original intent. The Earth was created to be an Eden, a place where all life can evolve to its highest potential. The original intent was hijacked by lesser self-serving forces, which created a different trajectory. Timelines were hijacked by entities that care nothing for humanity and the Earth. Many know them as satanic, stroke Luciferian forces, demonic, serpent, reptilian, and other malevolent ETs. Just as there are darker forces, there are lighter forces, ascended masters, spiritually and technologically advanced off-worlders. Some are ancient ancestors, the temple builders, spiritually advanced inner earth beings, and a host of others as well, are all assisting in a major course correction. The human component will be known as a secret space fleet, the white hats within the military. If the globalists, the war and disease profiteers aligned with the malevolent forces fast-tracking to World War III are not stopped, it will be yet another end of civilization having to start over as primitives. NATO and its corrupt politicians are doing everything to provoke World War III with clandestine attacks, mercenaries, boots on the ground they are not admitting to, and it looks like the latest airstrikes by F-16s did not come from Ukraine. they already worked out a peace treaty a long time ago, which was sabotaged by Boris Johnson and other corrupt politicians on behalf of the war industry, most capitalising on the war. After all, they have to keep the bioweapon adrenochrome labs, child and sex trafficking going. The solution is to put those that promote the wars on the front lines and take the profit out of war. We are moving back to the original intent, universal law, which in its simplest form is universal peace, brother-sisterly love, individual freedom and prosperity for all. The old disempowering predatory programs are coming to a close. Those enforcing them are on the downward spiral, servants of the beast, the rapidly collapsing draconian empire. All attempts to gracefully transition, all agreements made previously, have been broken or ignored. Time and a half is over. Your son is playing a big role in this with massive bursts of consciousness and energy, CMEs, coronal mass ejections, and X-class flares. This ties into the Great Central Sun. They are all connected with God, Creator, Great Spirit, as the ultimate source. There is a 6-6 major planetary alignment with six planets all lined up, adding to the major CMEs and X-class flares now being released by the sun. Everything moves down the vibrational continuum from consciousness to light, then to energy becoming mass. This is how the awakening and healing our planetary liberation is done. Most are only seeing the chaos and changes in the physical world, not realizing the big picture. What is behind this event is an unstoppable force beyond comprehension. Due to the extreme resistance by the morally and integrity challenged, along with the trespass of the malevolent forces, the gloves are off. The old draconian predatory empire is collapsing. All those aligned with it will fall with it. This will be a multidimensional operation with God, Creator, Great Spirit at the top, coming down through the ascended masters, spiritually and technologically advanced off-worlders, benevolent inner earth people, space force and the white hats. Humanity will rise and reclaim its destiny, choose to live according to universal law in harmony with each other and nature. We have the divine right to live a thoroughly loving, joyous, healthy, abundant life. Anything that interferes with that will suffer the consequences. All agencies and institutions must align with universal law. The weaponization of agencies and institutions goes directly against universal law and is not aligned with service to others. Everything you do unto others will be done to you, only now it will be accelerated and amplified. Everything will be revealed. No rock will be left unturned. The injustices and iniquities will be shouted from the rooftops as prophesied. The earth is ascending. Frequencies are rising rapidly. The Schumann resonance is off the scale. This is not hopium, wishful thinking, or woo-woo. This is science. A divine science withheld from standard curriculum. Now is the time to be brutally honest with ourselves. Are we operating under universal law? Are we serving God, Creator, Great Spirit? Or are we serving the beast and all our malevolent counterparts? Reason this: almost all your leadership agencies, the political, business, and religious institutions have fallen to the beast. There are some courageous souls with impeccable integrity calling this out. It is time to get behind them. Whether you like him or not, Trump has exposed every aspect of the beast. The depth of corruption globally, the weaponization of the agencies unimaginable for the average person, is now there for all to see. It may seem insurmountable unless you know the bigger picture. Every mode of civil justice has been explored. Now it is time for the military, which now is 100% on board. Martial law is imminent and necessary to protect and restore the Republic. The old draconian empire is unsustainable. The beast wants to control, dominate, suppress, and consume everything, according to Native American prophecy. In the end, just when you think there is no hope, the beast consumes itself. We unite with the greater family of man, woman throughout the galaxy, the star nations, followed by the restoration, healing, and 1,000 years of peace. That is our unstoppable destiny. Each individual has to play their part, take personal responsibility to make this happen. Just remember, every action has a reaction. This is being accelerated and amplified. Some call it karma. Nothing will remain hidden. We have the choice to take the upward spiral and live a spiritual, abundant life in harmony with each other and nature, or take the downward spiral in self-service at the expense of humanity and nature. The insatiable greed and lust for power, which has become epidemic, is about to be eradicated. The downward spiral eventually ends in collapse, taking everyone and everything aligned with it. This is being accelerated. The gap between polarities is widening. No more grey area. Choose wisely in thought, action, and deed. It will affect your tomorrow. There will always be the godless, the ignorant and arrogant, those with an insatiable lust for power and wealth at the expense of humanity and the earth, who think they can stop this or are immune. They are not. They will not see what is coming and fall the hardest. That has been their choice. You cannot stop the sun, a tsunami, or hide from your karma. A major rethink is in order. Time to direct all assets and energy into the awakening and healing of humanity and the earth. There just might be some forgiveness and dharma points there. Buckle up, it's going to get real fast. No one can stop what is coming. There is an armada of ships here now. More are coming. They are the benevolent forces here to put an end to tyranny, an end to the draconian law, the suppression of humanity for thousands of years. A new renaissance is coming. Miraculous healing technologies, fuelless energy, replicators, the end of war and disease is there for us, if we can accept it. We will soon realize Star Trek and Star Wars were documentaries. Soft disclosure. Now the hard disclosure is coming in the skies for everyone to see. The failed cover-up, the controlled narrative, has failed. Those involved will be seen for who and what they are. Now it's God, Creator, Great Spirit's turn. I've always loved the expression, one on the side of God is the majority. The tyrants and their puppets are fast becoming the minority. It is a self-eradication process called the Great Unveiling and Karma. Godspeed, James Gilliland. So that's a very positive take on restoring this planet to its original form, one of peace and prosperity. I can't wait for that. But we're also seeing a lot of dominoes falling across the world, actually, which to me signals that, you know, we are making great progress. When the end will come, I don't know, do any of us. But certainly it's happening in Europe, in the UK and in the US. And now I'm back in the UK, I just want to focus some time, first of all, on the recent European elections, and also, of course, the snap general election that was called by Rishi Sunak, which is less than 2 weeks away. It's actually being held on July 4th, your Independence Day in the US. And I'm hoping that it be a sign that perhaps the British can get independent from or of the globalists. That would be a wonderful victory. So just a quick rundown of what happened in Europe. And this was actually a couple of weeks ago now, but because I wasn't around to report on it, I'm playing catch up. And it was European parliamentary elections see dramatic shift to the right. This is published by the Balkan Dot Press. And it says, as the results of the European parliamentary elections are tabulated, a shift towards right and centre-right parties is being seen across the continent. The biggest defeat for the globalist establishment is in France, where Macron's Renaissance Party suffered a devastating defeat at the hands of Marine Le Pen's National Rally, which won in a landslide. The stunning defeat forced French President Emmanuel Macron to dissolve Parliament and call snap elections. Much like Brexit in 2016, this could be a harbinger of things to come in the United States this fall. And incidentally, when the last French presidential election was held, I strongly believe that Marine Le Pen won, but it was stolen from her by globalist Macron, because she was certainly seeing a lot of support for her policies. And she has been saying that, you know, she's going to basically rid us of the globalist agenda. Another devastating blow to the left came in Germany, where Prime Minister Olaf Scholz's Social Democratic Party suffered a humiliating defeat, coming in third behind the centre-right Christian Democratic Union and the Patriotic Party Alternative for Germany, which finished second for the first time. Scholz's ruling partner, the Greens, suffered a devastating collapse due to the rise in energy prices following the invasion of Ukraine, their support of the war, and their role in an unpopular Scholz government. Austria also saw huge gains for the right, as for the first time ever, the Freedom Party, FPÖ, finished first in the voting. The Freedom Party, led by Harold Wilimski, opposed EU immigration policy as well as the war in Ukraine, advocating for a peaceful settlement to the crisis. The right also made significant gains in the Netherlands, where Geert Wilders' Freedom Party made a strong showing. Italy also remained firmly on the right, with Giorgia Meloni's party winning a decisive victory. The main success of the globalist left came in Romania, which has been completely corrupted and purchased by globalist interests. The ruling coalition of the Social Democratic Party, PSD, the successor of the Romanian Communist Party, and their allies, the National Liberal Party, PNL, won a convincing victory. The right-wing opposition party, the Alliance for the Union of Romanians, finished a disappointing second with only 14% of the vote. Romania saw a record turnout for European parliamentary elections, with over 50% of the population voting. Viktor Orban's Fidesz party won elections handily in Hungary, but with fewer votes than in previous elections. Peter Magyar's Tisza party, a new political formation, finished a distant second. Magyar's party was born out of Fidesz and is considered centre-right. So it's obvious that the people in Europe are waking up to the globalist agenda. We've already seen it in the farmers' protests and so on. And just to segue onto the UK or British election. A couple of weeks ago, Nigel Farage, who was the champion of the Brexit movement, he changed his mind about running for Parliament, and also he decided to resume his place as leader of the Reform Party. Now, it's interesting because he originally said he wasn't going to run because he wanted to support Trump's election campaign or re-election campaign. And I'm more and more getting the feeling that Farage and Trump are working together on this, because we know it's a global issue, the globalists' attempt to take over the world. With their demonic intentions, their satanic affiliations, and so on. So, and also, there were people considering the Reform Party as an alternative to Labour and Conservative, who are basically both parties following the same globalist agenda. Rishi Sunak, who's currently Prime Minister, is a WEF puppet. Keir Starmer, who's the leader of the Labour Party, has already said on an interview that his allegiance is to Davos and not Westminster. And people are starting to call Westminster WEF Minster, which is very appropriate. And up until Nigel Farage resumed as leader of the Reform Party, people were, as I say, considering voting for it, but weren't enamoured by Richard Tice, who was the leader, who was quite questionable in relation to some policies. But as soon as Farage announced he was running for as MP for Clacton on the South Coast, and also becoming leader of the Reform Party again, the support absolutely hit the roof, basically. And the Reform Party is now ahead of the Conservative Party in the polls. So this has been very encouraging for us. I certainly intend to vote for the Reform Party because, as I say, the other two are just WEF puppets, as we say, not only here but also in the US. They're two butt cheeks of the same ass or arse, as we say in the UK. So, you know, even to the extent now that the news is reporting that Rishi Sunak could actually lose his seat in Parliament because he's become so unpopular, especially when he abandoned the D-Day remembrance events in Normandy, just because he wanted to return to the UK for a pre-recorded interview, which wasn't going to be aired until the following Tuesday. He got absolutely slated for that. And the latest thing is that they're introducing automatic registration of 18 to 26-year-old men for potential national service, because obviously the warmongers are thinking they might need these troops on the ground in Ukraine. But he's also announced that there'll be sanctions against 18 to 26-year-olds if they don't comply with this, and literally financially, and there are other conditions as well. So it's another nail in the coffin of his non-existent popularity. And people are saying, you know, it's almost like he wants Labour to win. But as I say, since Farage announced that he was running for MP of Clacton and also leading the Reform Party, many people who have been on the fence are jumping over to the Reform side, which is absolutely great news. And although the prediction is that Labour will win easily, God help us, there is the possibility that Farage and the Reform Party could lead a coalition with the Conservatives in being the new opposition party in Parliament, because the forecast is that the Conservative Party will only win 53 seats, which it was, you know, they won with an 80-seat majority in the last election. So that's a massive, massive loss for them. Interestingly, like the situation with Trump in the US presidential election, the mainstream media, the legacy media, are completely ignoring Farage and not reporting on what he's doing or what the party is actually standing on. And he's been excluded from a debate on the basis that they haven't got any seats yet or whatever. But It should be done based on the polling position, because he's ahead of the Conservatives, of course. And he gets criticised for speaking out against the Ukraine war. Of course, you know, the globalists are all for it, as are the WEF puppets, both in the UK and the US. And I just want to read you an article from Radical Media, which is Majid Nawaz on Substack. Reform UK leader Nigel Farage insists Ukraine must make peace with Russia and may be partitioned. And this was published on the 19th. And he lays out a number of points. Farage opposes World War III. Reform UK leader fast becoming recognised as a political dark horse candidate for eventual prime minister. Nigel Farage has stated that Ukraine will have no option but to seek a deal with Russia to end war. It seems that tables have turned at Reform. Farage's pronouncement on seeking peace stands in stark contrast to Reform UK's previous leader, Richard Tice, whose publicly stated position had been that he was a staunch supporter of Ukraine from the moment it was invaded by Russia. Farage went even further, conceding that for peace to be achieved, Ukraine may indeed have to agree to being partitioned in any subsequent negotiations. Ukraine will eventually have to seek a peace deal with Russia, Nigel Farage insisted yesterday, creating a clear divide between his party and the Tories over the conflict. The Reform UK leader said negotiations with the Kremlin, which could lead to the partitioning of Ukraine, were inevitable as he laid out the party's policies on defence. The second point, Biden regime seeks to join UK regime in directly arming Ukrainian Nazis against Russia. Meanwhile, the globalist deep state seems intent on continuing to provoke World War III. Soon after, former UK PM Boris Johnson praised the Nazi Azov brigades in the British Parliament as heroes and called for the direct supply of Western weapons to them, the US regime followed suit. Like David Cameron, who's the Foreign Secretary, Boris Johnson also pushes for Ukraine to be allowed to use British weapons to strike at Russia. In other words, he wishes for the UK to go to war with Russia. Since this intervention by Johnson, the globalist US regime under Biden has lifted its own ban on directly supplying US weapons to the Nazi Azov battalion. Until this month, the ban had been in place due to the US government's own recognition that the Azov brigades are a Nazi movement. Such a ban was an admission by the US government that, up until June 2024, the US had been tacitly supporting a Nazi movement in Ukraine in the name of preserving freedom and democracy. To deal with this paradox and in pursuit of the globalist agenda to escalate war with Russia, the US has now apparently changed its mind. The United States of America is now legally allowed to directly supply Azov Nazis with US weapons in Ukraine. Point three, how we avoid World War III. Despite this coordinated UK-US escalation, there remains hope in avoiding World War III. Both of these escalatory gestures are outgoing. In the UK, Johnson is a former PM, and in the US, Biden's regime will soon lose to Trump, who is on the record as wanting to end the conflict in Ukraine within 24 hours and stating his belief that he can do so. Like Farage, Trump's plan too involves partitioning Ukraine to end the war. Trump would plan to push Ukraine to hand over control of Crimea and the Donbass region to Russia in any future settlement, in effect codifying the gains Putin has made in his illegal invasion. In return, Putin would have to stop the war for good. With Farage now accepting a negotiated settlement for a partitioned Ukraine, his likely ascendance after the upcoming general election in July 2024 to becoming the voice of the opposition in the UK, and his known alliance with Trump, The prospects of Britain descending into a conflict with Russia have also been somewhat diminished, though not yet eliminated. Farage said, "No, the American election doesn't matter more to me. It matters more to us. It matters more to the world. We are closer now than we've been at any point since the Cuban Missile Crisis to a serious global war." Incidentally, I've thought for some time that Farage may well be working with Trump, especially, you know, when he said he was going to help Trump's campaign. And I've got a post on X that gives credence to that as well. It actually compares Farage with Trump. And I've been saying for some time, we need a Trump in the UK. So maybe I'm manifesting Farage as a Trump equivalent. Who knows? The article also points out that across Europe, populist right candidates have joined their populist left counterparts in rejecting war. The trend was confirmed by Germany's rising AfD party boycotting Zelensky. Germany's hard right Alternative for Germany and the populist left-wing BSW party boycotted a speech by President Zelensky in the Bundestag on Tuesday, with the AfD calling him a war and beggar president. "We refused to listen to a speaker in a camouflage suit," AfD leaders Tino Trapalla and Alice Weidel said in a statement. "Zelensky's term of office has expired. He is now only in office as a war and beggar president. Ukraine does not need a war president now. It needs a peace president who is willing to negotiate so that the dying stops and the country has a future." And the German public booing aging musician Rod Stewart as he sheepishly attempted to pay homage to an image of Zelensky mid-concert while on stage. In France, the populist right's Marine Le Pen, too, has proven hostile to war. And four, Saudi Arabia, too, supports peace. Crucially, Russia and China's BRICS nations counter-alliance to NATO is proving effective in persuading third-party nations to oppose further escalation to World War III. American petrodollar hegemony tying world trade to the US dollar is reportedly no longer. This allows Saudi Arabia to sell oil directly in multiple currencies. The news was coupled with reports of the Russian exchange suspending all trade in US dollars and euros. Two initiatives that combined probably gave cause for Saudi Arabia to make de-escalatory interventions too. This was at the NATO Peace Summit in Switzerland, which has to date excluded the Russians. What a complete farce. And they had Kamala Harris there as well. That says it all. And after the recent resignation of Israel's centrist candidate Benny Gantz from Netanyahu's war cabinet, citing Israel's brutal war in Gaza as the reason, and as reported by the Radical Dispatch 12th of June 2024, Israeli war cabinet members resign and call for new elections. The Saudis have publicly reiterated the support of the international chorus to reach a negotiated settlement for peace in the Middle East in the form of a Palestinian state. Netanyahu responded to all this by dissolving his dysfunctional war cabinet and deciding to run Israel's war on his own like a fiefdom. But globalist war hawks' days are numbered. All over Europe, in the UK and the US, rising sentiment is one of opposing all war and holding globalists to account. It has been a long time in the making, but the pieces are finally coming together. Nothing can stop what is coming. Back to the UK election, even Zero Hedge is reporting on this. Farage's Reform UK party overtakes Sunak's Conservatives in a poll. And this was published last Saturday. Europe's marked shift towards populism appears to be accelerating as Nigel Farage's Reform UK party has surpassed Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's Conservatives in an opinion poll for the first time, signalling a potential shift in the British political landscape as the nation approaches the July 4th general election. According to a YouGov survey conducted for The Times, Reform UK now holds 90% of voter support, up 2 percentage points, while the Conservatives remain static at 18%. The opposition Labour Party continues to lead with 37% support. The rise of Reform UK coincides with Farage's return to the political forefront after he announced his intent to lead the party and seek election to Parliament. Farage, a pivotal figure in Britain's Brexit movement, aims to reshape the political conversation around populist issues, including stringent immigration policies. This is the inflection point. The only wasted vote now is a Conservative vote. We are the challengers to Labour and we are on our way, Farage declared in a campaign video. While other polls have shown the Conservatives with a more substantial lead over Reform, the momentum appears to be with Farage as he re-enters the political arena with a clear message and strategy aimed at disrupting the current political order. As the election approaches, it remains to be seen how this shift will impact the Conservative Party's strategy and whether Farage's renewed influence will translate into electoral success. Well, fingers crossed, I certainly hope it does, because otherwise the UK is as doomed as the US would be if Biden, God forbid, was reinstalled in November. But there's absolutely no chance of that, because the white hats have everything under control. I'm convinced of it. You know, people are worried about Biden stealing the election again. But as I've said many times, he was allowed to win in 2020 to expose the corruption, the lawfare, everything. And that has served its purpose. He will not be allowed to do the same again. Finally, on that subject of Farage, the Yorkshire Lass on X, I keep wanting to say Twitter, I'm absolutely howling at this article from ITV News. They're reporting that Reform's Nigel Farage's campaign in Blackpool felt like a Trump campaign with the music, crowd going wild and Farage dancing. Reporter in the article says, over a year and a half ago, I saw another crowd waiting with anticipation for their political hero, Trump. He too came on stage to music, danced a little, pointed to the various members of the audience, and then began a speech that mixed humour with politics that split opinion. But this time I was in Miami, Florida, and Donald Trump was addressing a crowd of thousands donned in American flags and MAGA hats. It's no surprise that Farage is such a supporter of the former president. The crowd in Blackpool felt similar to the crowd in Miami. Farage has told ITV News he does not see himself as Britain's Trump. We know he is good friends with President Trump. I smell panic. And the headline on that ITV News report, Nigel Farage denies he's Britain's Trump, but his campaign feels the same. It's absolutely glorious. And I do believe he is Britain's Trump. Thank God he's come forward and is standing. Still on the subject of the white hats working together, Putin's done an interesting tour. I think it was this week, actually. And Clandestine's newsletter on Substack says Putin's symbolic tour, and I must admit, I agree with what he says. Putin's tour from North Korea to Vietnam might be more significant than it appears. Both North Korea and Vietnam are nations that used to be CIA hotbeds and two main areas of conflict during the Cold War. Putin just signed strategic agreements with both of them and appears to be having a blast with Kim Jong-un. I think it's a symbolic display of CIA strings being cut and Western influence being rooted out. Similar to Trump's world tour in 2017 and his visit to North Korea in 2019, something about it looks so familiar. And I honestly believe that Trump and Putin are working together. I mean, you know, when you look back at when in Helsinki, Putin handed the soccer ball to Trump and said, "The ball's in your court." I think that nailed it, basically. On a similar but slightly different note, Tucker Carlson interviewed Neil Oliver, who is a very well-known and well-respected presenter on GB News in the UK. He's actually from Scotland, and he has a background in architecture, I believe, but I follow him on YouTube. He does some excellent monologues, and the interview that Tucker did was first class. I mean, it's a long interview, but it's definitely worth listening to. I think it's about 2 hours, 20 minutes long. Clandestine gives a very quick summary of the points that were made in it. This was published on the 20th. The title is "The Great Reset Has Backfired." Whoopsie, the powers that be wanted to enslave humanity. Instead, they caused a great awakening. It seems that they fumbled the ball when they pushed too hard and gave the people nothing in return. Neil Oliver, a prominent Scottish broadcaster, explained this to Tucker Carlson brilliantly. Now the overreach of the COVID era has sparked widespread scepticism about various subjects, including CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, digital IDs, 15-minute cities, the prevailing climate change narrative, anti-meat messaging, conventional medicine, all vaccines, the integrity of the electoral process itself. I think that in the final moves towards this kind of neo-feudalism, they have exposed themselves. They've gone galloping towards the finish line too early, in the wrong way, and too many people have seen it, said Neil Oliver. So I do suggest you watch that interview. It, as I said, it's really good. And I mean, Neil Oliver is a great commentator on the real news. Oh, by the way, it's available on Tucker Carlson's X account if you want to watch it. To add insult to injury to the globalists, the COVID-19 pandemic and the COVID-19 so-called vaccine, which is a bioweapon, is the whole narrative is collapsing completely. In the UK, there was an inquiry into the response to COVID-19, and I think I may have mentioned this before, but it was a complete sham. All they wanted was to hear their approaches reinforced by sycophants, basically. None of the people with any real evidence to share were invited to testify. There has been a Scottish inquiry going on, which has actually revealed a lot more, to give them their due. And Andrew Bridgen called for an inquiry into the COVID-19 bioweapon to be held before the election. This was actually before the election was called by Rishi Sunak. So it was assumed at the time that it wasn't going to be until much later this year or early next year, because the UK inquiry had postponed it until after the election, which again is kind of a symptom of the election interference that's going on everywhere. But Andrew Bridgen called for it to be held more or less immediately, and they sidestepped that. So there's now an independent people's vaccine inquiry. So they've got, you know, pretty notable names testifying, giving evidence. So whether anything will come from that, it's hard to say. But there's been a bombshell announcement recently. And Second Smartest Guy in the World on Substack wrote a report on this on June the 11th. Breaking: law professor that wrote 1989 Biological Weapons and Anti-Terrorism Act provides affidavit that COVID-19 mRNA nanoparticle injections are biological weapons and weapons of mass destruction. The article was actually written by Dr. Joseph Sanson. Dr. Francis Boyle, the Harvard-educated law professor that drafted the 1989 Biological Weapons and Anti-Terrorism Act, which passed both houses of Congress unanimously, provided an affidavit stating that COVID-19 injections and mRNA nanoparticle injections violate the law, he wrote. Dr. Boyle asserted that COVID-19 injections, COVID-19 nanoparticle injections, and mRNA nanoparticle injections are biological weapons and weapons of mass destruction and violate Biological Weapons 18 U.S.C. subsection 175, Weapons and Firearms subsection 790.166, Florida Statute, I believe, 2023. Dr. Boyle provided this affidavit in a Florida case filed by Dr. Joseph Sanson involving an emergency petition for a writ of mandamus that seeks to compel Governor DeSantis to prohibit the distribution of COVID-19 injections, COVID-19 nanoparticle injections, and mRNA nanoparticle injections in the state of Florida. It also seeks to compel Attorney General Ashley Moody to confiscate the vials. The pleadings assert, amongst other things, treason, domestic terrorism, terrorism, murder, genocide, fraud, accessory after the fact, and breaks Florida's medical consent law. Dr. Boyle is regarded as one of the world's leading legal experts on biological weapons. Dr. Boyle's affidavit adds a tremendous amount of credibility to the case, which already has a tremendous body of evidence provided in the writ of mandamus. Affidavits stating that the injections are biological and technological weapons were also provided by medical legal advisor and biotech analyst Karen Kingston, who researched the evidence that makes of the facts of the case section of the mandamus, and from Anna Mihalsia. Dr. Mihalsia's research is included in the mandamus. Dr. Mihalsia is one of the world's leading researchers into the effects of self-replicating nanotechnology in the blood of injected, as well as the effects in the blood of the uninjected as a result of shedding. In addition, in Florida, the Lee County Republican Assembly, which is a grassroots conservative Republican organization, passed a resolution introduced by Joseph Sanson declaring the UN, WHO, and WEF terrorist organizations. The resolution additionally brands cooperation with these organizations as an act of treason against the United States and the state of Florida. Unfortunately, the executive board of the Lee County Republican Party refused to allow the declaration to come up for a vote by the full executive committee, which would have likely passed the resolution as well. It calls on the Florida legislature and governor to pass legislation declaring cooperation with the United Nations, World Health Organization, and World Economic Forum an act of treason against the United States and the state of Florida. And they're not the only state. Kansas AG Pfizer lawsuit will stop COVID-19 bioweapon vax industry. And this is on Lioness of Judah Substack. In a stunning new COVID-19 vax lawsuit filed this week by Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach, there is new hope to finally bring down the COVID-19 bioweapon vax industry. AG Kobach filed a lawsuit against Pfizer, the biggest maker of the COVID-19 so-called vaccine, with more than 60% of the market globally. Kobach is alleging unlawful misrepresentation of the efficacy of the injections and censoring public discussion of the disastrous effects of the injections. On top of that, it's reported by Kobach that four other states are going to join the Kansas AG's lawsuit. This is big, and biotech analyst Karen Kingston, who has warned from the beginning of the murderous and disabling effects of the COVID-19 injections, explains why. I am overjoyed to share this. Again, AG Kobach is suing Pfizer for fraud and unconscionable acts. 10 counts have been brought against Pfizer, including conspiring with Health and Human Services, the legacy media, social media, other agencies, and even the lobbying group Bio. Even bigger than that, Kobach announced 4 other states will be joining this lawsuit and potentially even more. Just before I finish the show this week, jumping back to the exopolitics things that I shared from James Gilliland, it's been interesting that another monolith has appeared, and this time near Las Vegas. It's Gateway Pundit reporting on June 18th, Monolith Mania, another mysterious metal artifact found, this time in a desert near Las Vegas. Is it a seemingly supernatural mystery, or is it just an elaborate piece of undercover artwork? The Monolith Mania continues unabated in the United States and the United Kingdom. Another 10-foot-tall block of steel resembling the distinctive shape of the Swiss chocolate bar Toblerone has been found, this time in the Nevada desert near Las Vegas. The artifact sighting is the latest in a series of similar events happening across the US, UK and elsewhere in Europe. Multiple monoliths were sighted since 2020, including one in Utah, one in California, one at UK's Isle of Wight, and one at the Merry Maidens megalithic stone circle in Cornwall, which attracted enormous curiosity. Besides the US and the UK, similar artifacts have also been found in Belgium and Romania. Back in November 2020, one of the 10-feet-high monoliths was found by Utah State Wildlife employees counting sheep from a helicopter. A week later, another artifact was discovered in Atascadero, California, north of Los Angeles. Both British and American authorities share the same complete ignorance about who is placing these metal objects there and why. So I'm wondering if it's the benevolent ETs that James Gilliland talks about and who he receives messages from are just making their presence felt, because in earlier reports about them, the megaliths have been found with no trace of any disturbance of the earth or tracks or anything to indicate that it was anything other than something being dropped from above. So I suppose it could be a helicopter or something, but presumably people would have noticed that, and perhaps the rotor blades would have caused some disturbance. Who knows? But it's fun to think about, I must say. Just as an aside, Just Stop Oil, which is a climate change bunch of idiots demonstrating against fossil fuels, who in the past have defaced priceless portraits in galleries. Thankfully, most of them weren't permanently damaged. But the latest stunt is on the solstice, the 21st, when they sprayed orange paint onto some of the stones of Stonehenge. Can you believe it? These criminal vandals actually defaced and damaged this 5,000-year-old monument, renowned for its mysterious origins and its alignment with celestial events. So hopefully they'll be thrown in jail and they'll throw away the key. I mean, it's appalling. And one expert has said that the stones could be permanently damaged. Let's hope they can be restored. As it's been a very UK-dominated show this week, I hope you don't mind, I just thought I'd finish with more about the Kate Middleton conspiracy theory that she's been terminated, shall we say. Ben Fulford mentions a satanic sacrifice. I don't know whether that's true or not, but there was an announcement that she wouldn't be returning to public duties this year. And then suddenly she's announced that she'll be present at the Trooping of the Colour ceremony, which happened, I think it was last week. And there are photos again of her, and of the, there's a short video of the family on the balcony watching this parade. And there are even fact checks to say it looks like it could be CGI or AI generated. So we're no closer to knowing what's happened to Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales. But definitely there's some suspicious things happening when, you know, it's so easy to make deep fake videos. And in fact, somebody posted one on Twitter or on X just to prove how it could be done. So, you know, the people who are awake are not buying this BS from the royal family or the mainstream media or whoever, because it's the oddest thing to have happened, that Kate Middleton should have, you know, not been seen since Christmas. So we'll see. Who knows when that, when the truth about that is going to be revealed. But a lot of people are making parallels between her and, of course, the murder of Princess Diana. So we'll have to wait and see, but I'm sure the truth will be revealed eventually. It seems to be coming out about so many things these days. It's actually turning out, as I said before, to be an amazing year for more reveals. And I think the rebound is definitely in play at the moment, because everything that the deep state tries to do, especially against Trump, are just backfiring phenomenally. It's almost, it's back to the theatre of the absurd. These people are stupid, as Q said. Speaking of Q, it's interesting that we had this this scare from the Russian submarines turning up in Cuba, obviously not far off the Florida coast. And it just brought back to mind the Q posts about the hunt for Red October, because I think it was the same class of submarine that was featured in the movie. So interesting how so many things are turning up that were included in the Q posts. It's fascinating. Anyway, that's about all I have time for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show. It's been good to be back. And I just want to remind you again that you can take my manifestation assessment if you're interested in discovering what you perhaps have blocking your manifestations, and also how to go about releasing them. It's especially quick to do now that I've been trained in timeline therapy and hypnotherapy, because all change happens in the unconscious mind. And, you know, most of the time we're not even aware of what's stored in our unconscious mind from previous traumas or difficult, challenging situations, especially at a very young age, and even can go back to past life experiences as well to be cleared. So it's a really good therapy to use. I absolutely love it. I've used it quite a bit already with clients, and it does work very quickly in a matter of minutes. So if you'd like to know more about that, go to my website, thesuccessalchemist.net. It's not fully updated yet since I've only recently got the certifications, but you can contact me from there, or you can go to the Work With Me menu link, and underneath that is Breakthrough Discovery Session, and that's where you can get a link to take the manifestation assessment. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next Saturday, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. And I'd like to thank Nancy for producing, and Derek Condit for sponsoring Cosmic Reality Radio. And so Until next time, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.